Good morning. I love the shoe boxes. If you guys aren't aware, we, of course, as a church, send a large amount of shoe boxes every year to Samaritan's Purse that go all over the world to children that we use the word less fortunate. They just have so little. And we really, guys, we're so blessed. We're really so spoiled as a general rule. And so it's a great ministry. Most importantly, they receive the gospel. And the shoebox out there, we collect year-round. And then last year we had our first corporate shoebox packing party. We'll do it again this year. So please, please be giving. It's a wonderful thing. Well, guys, we are in week three of our series about losing our religion. I want to apologize in advance. I have a frog in my throat. I would like to kill the frog. I hate the frog. You guys ever go frog? Anybody ever here ever go frog gigging? Anybody ever done that? Is that like a southern part? So growing up, my best friend was, his name was Aaron, and he grew up in a little town called Cowling. It's like Rankin, but different. Anyway, he had a pond, and we used to go frog gigging. And we would go, you know, the frogs, you'd shine a flashlight in their eyes, and one of us would sneak up behind them with it was just a pocket knife. We called it knife-o-death because we were dumb kids. And we would then just kill the frog, and then, you know, you get to eat frog legs. And so if you love animals or are part of PETA, I don't apologize for that story because frog legs are delicious. But that tastes like chicken. Somehow that's my frog story. So I have a frog in my throat. I apologize. I'll be maybe coughing as I preach today. But we are in week three of our Losing Our Religion series, to which, thanks, show off. I mean, Brandon. Thanks, Brandon. Anyway, if you're a guest or haven't been here the last 2 weeks, we're going to be in the book of Galatians. We've been in the book of Galatians, which is a group of letters that Paul wrote to churches in Galatia. There were many, many churches about 2,000 years ago, and it was a letter written to them about their faith in Jesus and really reminding them that to not be religious, because being religious gets us nowhere. First of all, as Christians, if you are today, we aren't supposed to be religious. Jesus wasn't religious. The religious people hated Jesus. They crucified him. Jesus ate with and hung out with people that were considered sinners or not good enough. Jesus, he drank, he ate with sinners, he did all these things that they thought was not okay. And one of the biggest problems they had with Jesus was he healed on the Sabbath. Okay, so we might consider Sunday where we celebrate the Sabbath, we come to church, whatever, and Jesus tells us it's not about that. But they used to get so mad when he healed on the Sabbath. That drove the religious people crazy because they were so religious. Did you know back then the Jews, for example, they wouldn't take a bath on Sunday because they were afraid if the water spilled, they'd have to wipe the water up, and that was considered working, and that was wrong and sinful. That's religion right there. Yeah, exactly. But Jesus was like, and he tells us to be this way if we're followers of him. Jesus is like, hey, I love this person. I want to heal them. I don't care if it's the Sabbath. God cares about love more than all this religious stuff. And so we're spending 6 weeks reminding ourselves of that and how important it is that we are followers of Jesus and not religious, because Jesus is all we need. We spent our first week talking about grace. In Galatians 1, Paul wrote saying, why are you guys trying to earn your salvation? Why are you trying to follow all these unbiblical rules and things that you've made up and that are very legalistic and religious? Paul is saying that's not the gospel. God loves you. We're no different than the people in Galatia that the letter was written to. This letter's to us. God loves you, and he saved you by his amazing grace by sending Jesus Christ to die for your sins. That's it. And last week we talked about then, what does that mean? It means this. It's not enough to believe that that happened or to believe that he exists or to come sit in church or try to be good enough. But when you say yes to Jesus, he tells you, then give me and surrender to me your heart, your life, your will. Surrender your heart and life to me. And we are now supposed to live, Galatians 2 tells us, lives that are crucified with Christ. You and I shouldn't live. It shouldn't be about our wants and desires. We live lives that are crucified with Christ, and I no longer live and you no longer live, but he lives in us and through us. And that's wonderful. But remember, if we're choosing to live in sin or ignoring his word, or we don't love and forgive people, we're not kind, then that's not evidence of a heart that's been changed by Christ. That's an evidence of a heart that's religious, because we all want to go to heaven, not hell. We want to feel good about ourselves. But a heart that is surrendered to Jesus Christ will be evident by a life that is full of love and compassion and kindness and holiness and living a good life as well. So today we're going to be in Galatians chapter 3. If you have your Bibles today, Guys, this week, as every week, let me tell you what my desire is in coming here on Sunday. Lots of good things, and I enjoy it, but my number one prayer and desire every Sunday is that you guys, and First Service as well, will hear the living Word of God and respond to it in faith. That you'll hear God's Word and that you'll respond. Because that's the most important thing that we're doing here, that some of you or one of you might give your life to Christ or repent of a sin or choose to forgive someone or pray about something to respond. What response has been evident lately in your life to the Word of God? When you leave Sunday, what's your response to God's living Word? Is it to go to lunch? Is it to just go about your day? And guys, here's where I think a lot of the spiritual battle is. For some of you, because you've shared this, I've experienced this. This is how I used to do it. I would come and I would get convicted and get that emotional, that squirm in my seat, and then that would be my response. Well, I was convicted, so boy, I had a good day. But I wouldn't change anything. I wouldn't do anything different in my life. Nothing would change. I would just have that emotional reaction, that emotional moment, and then I would go about my day. And that's not what God wants. Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 through 5 is where we're going to be today. Let's talk about miracles. Who here would want a miracle in your life? We all could find a situation where there would just be a miracle. I would love to see the miracle of Hoopston, Illinois having a revival, and this time next year, 80% of people go to church. That would be, if I could pick any miracle, that'd be over winning the lottery, or I could pick a million different things. That would be it. My wife never getting mad at me, that would be a miracle. Things like that, I would pick the revival. A miracle. You guys know that God still does miracles? Every day's a miracle. Your heart beating is a miracle. The earth spinning around the sun, our universe, is a miracle. The trillions of cells in your body, those, each one is a miracle. There are miracles that go on all the time. We just take them for granted. Like we take so much for granted because that's our human nature. But spiritually speaking, guys, the reason I believe so often we don't see more miracles. The reason that we don't see more miracles is because we often aren't faithful enough to allow God to work them through us. I'm with you. That's what I really believe. So guys, we're gonna read a letter from Paul today. We're going to read four or five verses. And again, this is kind of a shift today. The first two verses of Galatians, Paul's talking about grace and then how you live. And then today, he's going to talk a little bit about, guys, we should be living fully devoted, crucified with Christ lives. Because those lead to miracles. We should have, and you should have, if you're a Christian, going to heaven, come to church, I'm a Christian, you should have a fully devoted faith to Jesus Christ. Not a part, not a Sunday morning, not a certain areas. There shouldn't be anything in your life that is just explicitly, it is not, I am not living what the Word of God says, but I'm a Christian. That doesn't work. God loves you. He loves you. He wants you to respond to His love by loving Him and learning about Him and obeying His Word because it's for your own good. I've never found anything in the Bible that I thought, if I did not what the Bible said, my life would be better. I found the opposite a lot. But I've never found that. And that's a fully devoted faith, guys. Denying Jesus, nothing. That amazing grace of Him being your Savior, that is a free gift. But when you accept it, He becomes your Lord as well. And we get to follow Him into love and into service and into a wonderful life and into eternal life. The Bible talks about suffering with Him. I'm going to ask you several questions today, one of which is, what is your faith costing you? Because I'll ask this every once in a while. Guys, this is against our human nature. It's against our inherent rebellious nature. It's very much against our culture now. But your faith should often cause you to have to tell yourself no. In so many areas. Oh, I can't believe I've been married so long and my spouse takes me for granted. This person's nice to me. No. Oh, I know it's going to cost me something to change how I'm living in sin and how I'm doing. No. Yes to change. Yes to Jesus. You have to tell yourselves no. I don't need this. I'll just put it on the credit card and pay it back next year when I get my taxes. No. There should be all kinds of no's for believers. And I know it's tough for us. But guys, I just a few crude examples there to tell you this. A faith that cost us nothing will yield nothing. A faith that cost us nothing will yield us nothing. What has your faith cost you lately? Has it cost you a meal? I had someone come up after first service and it's just, praise God. Me and my husband, we've never fasted. We're going to commit to starting to fast. Can you help us do that? Why would they do that? You'll see in a minute. It's wonderful. When I talk to Christians and do Bible studies and surveys, and I talk to some of you, usually it's about two-thirds of you that have never once fasted in your life. Jesus says, when you fast. That doesn't mean you don't have to not eat for 40 days, but there's your faith costing you something. When I fast, let me tell you, it stinks. I like meals. I just do. Or if I fast from caffeine or from TV, TV might be the worst. That is rough. But the point is not look at me, I fast. It's denying my flesh. It's denying myself. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The lost are worth fasting for. My marriage is worth fasting for. My kids are worth fasting for. You are worth fasting for. Our church, it's worth fasting for. She's going to kill me, but my wife is fasting right now as we speak. I love it. I love her for that. Now, look at the pastor and his wife. No, it's just important. And it costs something. We're going to go have a nice lunch today. She won't get to partake. It's going to cost her something. I'll save 12 bucks. Everybody wins. But your faith should cost you something. It shouldn't just be cruise control all the time. That's not what Jesus modeled for us. And for some of you, and sometimes for me in my life, it's been something serious. It's been a sacrifice. It has been something. Your faith should cost you something in your budget. When you write out to children a promise or a Samaritan's purse or World Vision, or I could go on all day, it should cost you something. It should. So chapter 3 here, Paul is arguing based on personal experience. He talks about the Holy Spirit. He talks about when you put your faith in Christ and you receive the Holy Spirit, that religion yields nothing, but hearts and lives that are led by the Holy Spirit, that are surrendered to Jesus Christ, bear fruit. And if we look at our lives and say there's no fruit being bore, we say, I'm going to do something. I'm going to change something. Something has to change. And ultimately, if you've never said yes to Jesus Christ as your Savior, or you're willfully living in sin, your eternity is very much in danger. What are you willing to do about it? And not because I'm mean, I'm preaching hell, it's because God loves you. He offers you salvation. So here we go, Galatians chapter 3. Now I want you to think about this. Again, these are real people in real churches, and they've gotten these letters, okay? They didn't have email or text or Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, all that. They get a letter from Paul, and they're so excited, right? And Paul starts out, the first three words of chapter 3, oh, foolish Galatians. They probably had to be like, wow, thanks, Paul. That's nice. It's like you guys ever gotten a text from someone, you open it up and you're like, whoa. Like sometimes I get a text from maybe from my wife and I'm like, oh, she's mad. That's not a fun text to open up, okay? Or sometimes, you know, when we're kind of into it, it'll be via text and that's no good. The Galatians had to be like, hey, a letter from Paul, because he just wrote about grace and being crucified with Christ and the gospel and not being religious and being unified and all these things. Christ died for us. So They open up, and you know, what is the letter here that starts chapter 3? And it says, oh, foolish Galatians. Wow. Because he had heard a lot of what was going on. He had heard a lot of bad things that were going on in the church. And remember, again, we're no different than them. And so as I was studying this week, God convicted me. It's like, hey, here's a great exercise. Micah. And my wife and I did this week. We had this conversation. And so I said, if Paul were writing to me, if God had inspired by his Holy Spirit someone to write me a letter, and it started out, oh, foolish Micah, what would the next sentence be? And I was like, oh, man, that's rough. So we're going to do this exercise. We're all going to say together, oh, foolish, and then we're going to say, you're going to say your name on 1, 2, 3. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Oh, foolish Micah, what would the next sentence to you be? And be real. Don't say it out loud, because for some of you, it's rough. No, it's okay. It's okay. We're here to hear God's word and respond to God's word. If God himself, and he is writing you a letter today, and says, oh, foolish you, what are you doing here with your life? What are you doing? What are you not doing? What would it be? And what will you do about it? Do you love Jesus? Because you'll do something about it. Here are some common ones. Oh, fool, you sit in church and never respond. You sit and you hear my word, but it has no effect on your life. You convince yourself that you come and you feel good and you leave and that's enough. And that's very good. But is the word of God alive in your life by a heart and a life that's surrendered to Jesus and by a responding? Maybe you don't read the Bible. Maybe you're living in sin. Maybe you don't tithe or don't give your time or your money. Maybe you don't love. Maybe you don't are unwilling to support missions or starving children. There are millions of starving children in the world. I'm not asking you to write a check to an organization, but we're in the process of updating our missions board. The church supports multiple children, multiple missionaries. We're getting ready to take on one or two more missionaries that are helping people that are starving and dying of diseases and live lives that you can't even imagine. So if you're not faithful to God and obedient in tithing, you are by default neglecting the least of these. Now again, we're not going to go money, but it's true. God says be obedient, tithe. And by not doing that, then that's not happening. The church can't do as much. And so, oh foolish, what would the sentence be for you? Let me tell you, we went over a couple this week. Like, what would it be? And that's a good, healthy, uncomfortable thing to do. Would it be just having a full devotion to Jesus? Would it be that? Would it be the fact that you've seen Jesus, you've experienced Him, this amazing grace and love, and you're so blessed? And guys, we're so blessed. You're sitting in this heat, air-conditioned, controlled church, all safe, getting to hear God's Word and worship together. And then you're going to go have lunch, and we're going to, you know, we all work hard, we all have stuff in life, but we're very blessed. And all that stuff will pass away. Forget all that comfort. The fact is that your eternity, your relationship with your loving God has been bought by Jesus. How is your life responding to that love? That's what's important. How is your life responding to God's love for you? Because if not, that's foolish. Verses 2 and 3. Verses 2 and 3 of chapter 3 are maybe kind of the crux of the losing our religion here. And it says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Have you put your faith in Christ? You know, we sang the song Oceans this morning and everybody loves it. And I can tell you hear it on the radio because you sing louder and know the words, right? That's good. But the song is about faith. Your faith abounds in deepest water. It doesn't abound by being super comfortable all the time and by not being obedient and not responding to God's Word and not consistently changing our lives and being plugged into Jesus. Listen, guys, this morning I was getting some batteries before first service because my mic had died. And the church, we have a battery pack up there that's like the environmentally friendly green batteries. And they're just horrific. They last 10 seconds. So just good old-fashioned Energizer. Yeah, forget the green stuff. Anyway, it's funny. I unplugged them and then the prongs were in the back and I instantly folded them down. And I'm like, it's funny how I didn't, you know, get shocked or anything. Because the moment those things got unplugged, they had no power whatsoever. And for some of you, if you're living in sin, if you're not plugged into Jesus Christ, if you're not living lives that are daily surrendered to Him and reading His Word and serving and being obedient, you have no power. You have no joy. You're not living in that abundance. You don't have His Holy Spirit in your heart if you've not been saved and baptized into Him. Your sin separates you, your unforgiveness. These things that separate us from God, and we're just living powerless lives. It's no good. It's no good for us, for the kingdom, for eternity, for the lost. And selfishly, again, it's just not for us. I've lived that way. Being plugged in and obeying Jesus and being in love with Him, that's life, that's fullness, that's joy, that's all of these things. And so we have to understand verses 2 and 3. He goes on to say right here in verse 3, he says, are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit and now being made perfect by the flesh? What are we doing when we let religion in? Coming to church is enough and putting a little effort out and all these things. It's like, no, it's as we talked about last week, it's a life that is crucified with Christ, being in love with Jesus. And that's not religious at all. That's freedom. That is joy. That is beauty. That is saving us from ourselves. There are some here today who aren't Christians or have believed but have gotten away and you're kind of doing life as you want, where it's just going to end badly. It's going to go badly. You're accepting of sin. You're not giving God any part in your heart, and you've convinced yourself, and the enemy has convinced you it's okay. I'll repent later. We can't fool ourselves. We can't be foolish, as the verse says. God wants control, guys. It's the power of the Holy Spirit in our life that moves us forward, not our effort, not our way of thinking. Faith will equal action. Faith will equal action. How have you responded lately to God's word? It's a question for every ear here that can hear. It's not a question for the church or for me or I'm preaching it. It's a question for you. How have you responded lately to God's word? Forget the law. Forget all the other stuff. You in your life, in your heart, in your soul, how have you responded? Forget the law. You want miracles? You want God's best? Forget the law. Think about the first miracles in the Bible. They came way before the law, right? Think about Abraham. Think of all the things God did with him in his life because he had faith. Because he had real faith that led to action. Abraham came way before the law. The law and religion and self, none of this produces fruit and miracles. But trust and obedience and fully devoted faith in your life produces miracles. And you have to be plugged in to the Spirit. Apart from Him, you can do nothing. And so what separates us from Him? Sin. Lack of faith. Lack of obedience, lack of time in His Word. Those things separate us from Him and His wonderful Holy Spirit. I'll use my wife this morning. She has quite a bit. It's going to be a rough afternoon. She has asthma, if you don't know this. And occasionally, she will have an asthma attack. And it's awful. I'm talking like go to the ER asthma attack. Maybe twice a year. It's not good at all. Her breathing gets fast. Her heartbeat gets up. So they go and they put the Darth Vader mask on her and there's like it's called albuterol or something. Is that right, Keith? There you go. Yeah, whatever it is, you know. They put that on her and as soon as it gets on there, she can breathe. Too many Christians are living life like that. Separated from His Holy Spirit. Separated from the church. Isolated in sin. Separated from the life-giving, refreshing, light-giving, life-giving, eternity-saving power of His Holy Spirit by being fully devoted to Jesus Christ. By saying no to Him, as we talked about last week. By not being in His Word, by living in sin, by doing all these things. You know what the Greek word is for the Spirit in the New Testament? It's P-N-E-U-M-A, as in how you kind of spell pneumonia. P-N-E-U-M-A, breath and air. As a Christian, as humans, our bodies can't survive without oxygen, without air. As Christians, without His Holy Spirit, without having a heart that has Jesus as Lord, we can't survive. And if you constantly say no to Jesus, if you live in sin, if you're unwilling to surrender, no wonder at times we're not excited about church or there's the struggle constantly of drama and financially and maritally and all these things because if you're living separated from Him, what do we expect? What do we expect to have happen? How do we expect life to be? You've got to be crucified with Christ to have access to the power of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. That's what we have access to. And so often we don't see miracles and we aren't tapped into that because of ourself. It's because of ourself. Miracles in these wonderful things will come, guys, when you surrender your life to Jesus, to living by His Word, to saying yes to just His love and amazing grace. You will get thoughts that aren't your own. Solutions will come. Healing will come. Joy will come. That relationship that you thought you might have to sacrifice to serve Christ, God will redeem and make better than ever. You just can't keep saying no because that will never, ever end well. He will reveal to you. He will bless you. You will be amazed at the things that will happen when you'll just say yes and respond to Jesus. Respond to the Word of God. Dan, would you come back up and could we get our ushers to come forward again today? We're going to do something a little different. If I could have our ushers that took our offering to come on back up. Guys, if you will grab a pen, there's a pen around you. And what we're going to do is we'll prepare to close here in just a few minutes is this. We're not going to have an altar call today. The ushers are going to come and pass out a sheet to you. And if you're a guest, or if you haven't said yes to Jesus and you don't want to right now, just maybe fold yours up and throw it under your seat. But if you're a Christian or you want to be or this is your church, I want you to respond to something on this sheet. There are two things that are underlined. If you respond to one of those, I want you to write your name on the sheet. Nobody's going to see it but me. If it's underlined, put your name on there. Otherwise, you don't have to. You're going to have a chance to respond to God's Word today. Guys, it is so important that we respond to God's Word. The early church, think of the church in Acts and how they responded to Jesus Christ. And they were having their families taken away. They were being murdered. They gathered together in secrecy and in fear. But they didn't worry about the cost of following Jesus. They worried about Jesus and the kingdom of God and eternity and loving and serving their Lord and one another. I fear we're too comfortable at times. 2,000 years later, there are billions of Christians on earth because that small group of believers was faithful. Guys, I don't like the way the world's going. And the church is going to survive. He's promised us that. But I'll tell you what, I don't like 10 or 20 years from now if we don't start to respond to God's word and be more faithful. I don't like the way things are looking. Those early believers were so faithful. They worried about nothing but following Jesus. And if we would respond to God's word and be that committed, wow. So if it were you today and God was saying, oh foolish, and it's you, what would need to change? What would God say needs to change in your life before it's too late? Out of love of saying yes to Jesus, what would it be? I think about, for a lot of you, you're probably in church most weeks and you hear God's word, maybe you read it, but are you not being a doer and living by God's word? What if I asked Josie, my 10-year-old today, to go clean a room? And I said, Dad wants you to clean your room because it's a pigsty, and it is. And I came up 2 hours later and said, hey, Josie, why is your room not clean? And she said, well, Dad, you told me. I remember. I memorized it. You said, Josie, go clean your room. But she didn't do anything about it. I wouldn't be very happy with her. And guys, for some of you here today, you sit in church and you hear God's word and you memorize it and you know what it says, but you're not willing to do anything about it. That does not please your Heavenly Father who loves you so much. Do something. Change something. Respond to His word. If you're convicted, don't be mad or don't feel guilty. Feel joy that His Spirit's speaking to you. Feel joy that it's not too late. Feel joy that you haven't went into eternity yet. There's still time to say yes to Jesus. For the Christian here today, 1 John 2 says that those who live in Him, those who are Christians, those who know Jesus, should walk as He walked, should live as He lived. How much do our lives look at all like Jesus today? Would you bow your heads with me? Heavenly Father, Lord, as we respond to You today, God, I pray You'd work on and You would just break our hearts. God, to respond to You now while there's still time, while there's still time to respond to Your amazing love for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, as we pass these around, fill them out, circle, check your box, and after we're done singing, the ushers will come and collect them. Would you stand and let's sing.